I'd like to start off today's sermon by relating to a Chinese proverb. The proverb says, one generation plants trees, another enjoys shades. In Chinese, it would be 前人栽树，后人乘凉. The proverb means the efforts and works of earlier generations provide for the benefits or blessings enjoyed by later generations. Now, you can think of it this way. You get to enjoy fruits because someone else before you put in the work to plant and nurture the trees to fruition. Now, as most of you would know, especially out there in the suburbs where you have trees, planting trees requires much work and even sacrifices at times. And it certainly takes much time for trees to grow, to mature until they produce shades or fruits. I find this Chinese proverb to be rather applicable as we Aussies here, together with the Kiwis across the channel, prepare to commemorate Anzac Day this year. That's because, thanks to the sacrifices of our armed forces, Aussies today enjoy freedom in this country of milk and honey. Hence, today's sermon title is Freedom is Not Free, because Aussies enjoy freedom only because someone else paid for it. Now, in terms of protecting our country, these someones paid for our freedom with their lives. 25th of April, coming up this Thursday, is celebrated as national holiday both in Australia and New Zealand. And for this year, it is the 109th anniversary of Anzac Day celebration. So what is Anzac Day? No, it's not a day named after a cookie. It's actually the other way around. The Anzac stands for Australia and New Zealand Army Corps. Now, since World War I, Anzac Day commemorates Australia and New Zealand armed forces fighting side by side. The Anzac campaign started on 25th April 1915. The goal was to gain control of the Black Sea. And to do that, Anzac and Allied forces must first gain control of the Gallipoli Peninsula in Turkey. Turkey became the enemy by siding with Germany in World War I. The fighting was very fierce. On the first day, 700 plus Aussies died. And 9 months later, over 8,000 Aussie soldiers would have lost their lives. Eventually, Anzac and Allied forces retreated from the area. This is not a case of happy ending often seen in movies. Rather, it's a harsh reality of tragic deaths of so many heroes for which Anzac Day is instituted. However, in the process, Australia's national identity was indelibly cast by our soldiers' show of courage and mateship. For a country at that time that's only 14 years of age, Australia's very first military action on the world stage gained her worldwide recognition. For Australians show the world they were not afraid to fight for the principle of freedom. Aussies confronted enemies of aggression even in faraway places. And undeterred by sacrifices and danger, Australia stood in solidarity with humanity, fighting for a just cause. That Aussiness has time and again been repeated on the world stage in other places as well, in other conflicts. As a result, though that battle at Gallipoli serves as the impetus of Anzac Day, later on, Anzac Day would also include Australia's war efforts and sacrifices in other military theatres. But please, don't for one moment think that I'm glorifying war. I think wars should be avoided as much as possible. In fact, Australia's most renowned living general, a former governor general, Peter Cosgrove, was quoted saying, "War was an extremely stupid way of doing things." Indeed. However, something needs to be said when someone is brave enough to stand up to the bully. Equally important is the need to honor their willingness to risk their lives in the process. So while wars are to be avoided, yet there are times when wars are necessary. Even Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 3, verse 8, there's a time for war and a time for peace. Friends, freedom is not free. Not free because we're in a world fallen away from God. One writer says it well. Monsters and evil do exist. We do need to stop them. Hence, we need the constraint of law and order. For that, we need good government to counter the reality of harm to us and our neighbors. At the same time, we cannot sympathize with the way of violence, those looking for a fight and the use of force to get their way. And when war breaks out, nobody wins. The war to end all wars is a lie. Now, while there's no war to end all wars, there is a sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And that's what Jesus Christ speaks of in today's scripture, John 15:13, concerning his historical achievement at the cross. That's the sacrifice Australia's forefathers alluded to when they placed these words right in the heart of Melbourne's Shrine of Remembrance. Greater love hath no one. Now today, we recount Australia's history in remembering and honoring our war dead. We do so in the hope of Christ's historical achievement at the cross. Now the recent Good Friday and Easter Sunday services provided for us a good reminder. It is in Jesus' death and resurrection and his imminent return that we find a future. A future that tears of Christ's followers will be wiped away forever. War will be finally over then. It's in that hope that we today find the strength and meaning to commemorate Anzac Day coming up this Thursday. Now, one of the most famous landmarks, I would say the must visits of Melbourne, is the Shrine of Remembrance. Is there anyone who has not seen it there yet? Okay, good. Now, among its features, you know, there are many things, but two things stand out particularly for me regarding this shrine. First is the landscape design. You know, even from far away, it's a commanding view to behold. If you stand at RMIT and look southward along the Swanson Street, you will see the towering Shrine of Remembrance in the distance, far off, if you get a straight line of vision. So that's the landscape design. Second is the lighting feature. The architect has incorporated a hole in the roof to let in a sunlight beam, as shown in this picture. That beam has been calculated precisely so that on 11th November at the 11th hour in the morning, the beam moves over a stone on the shrine's floor. Now you may ask, why 11th November and not 25th April? Well, that's because World War I, of which Anzac Day is a part of, ended November 11, 1918. So that day has been called Day of Remembrance across the Commonwealth. Another term that you may hear is the Armistice Day. I miss this day. It's the day at 11 November 1918. At the 11th hour, all the arms are put down. The war was over. So it's a day to remember. A day to remember, especially those fallen in the war. But what's even more telling is what's written on the stone over which the sunlight beam travels. The words say, "Greater love hath no man." Now, of course, you recognize that's taken from today's scripture, John 15:13. Greater love, this is taken from the King James Version. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, let me invite you to think about the potency of these 17 words of John 15 in the King James Version. Of course, if you follow the NIV, it's 16 words. But however many words is known, the point is, you can't miss the focus of the verse. That is, the giving of one's life. You know, you can give many things to your friends. Whether it is a KFC meal, or your latest iPhone, or your job, or even your house. These things are all replaceable. Of course, a house might mean that you have to rob a bank. I will not recommend it. But the point is, it's still replaceable. But what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offers up, his life. Now, that's the ultimate life because it's irreplaceable. How would you replace your life if you gave it up? And that's the real kicker of what Jesus offers, that manifests the truest and highest potency, that is, the highest power. For even if you and I, as mortals, natural human beings, even if we offer up our lives, all our one life is good enough to redeem or to substitute for just another one. But Jesus Christ, as the divine Son of God, only his life is sufficient to redeem and substitute for all human lives. Lives in the past, lives in the present, and lives in the future. Yes, brave Aussie soldiers had given their lives in wars so that Aussies coming after them may have freedom, like us today. But their freedom is finite. Finite in the space of Australia national boundary, finite in the time of life here on earth. Now contrast that to what Jesus, Son of God, offers with his life. What Jesus offers is infinite. Infinite in space, for Christ's followers will be with God. And infinite in time, for Christ's followers will be with God forever and ever without end. That's the freedom. That's not free that Jesus has offered by dying and resurrecting for you and me. For it cost Jesus his life in order to redeem you and me to be freed from sin forever. Now, typically, that redemption is symbolized by the cross, for it's a reminder of what that freedom for us has cost God the Son. On Anzac Day, there's another symbol, the poppy flower, sometimes referred to simply as just the poppy. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't usually think much about poppy flowers. I guess that's because I've never lived in places where poppy flowers are common. What about you guys? Are you quite familiar with poppy flowers? Okay, very good. And besides, the ones that I have seen are usually just artificial ones, and they usually show up in November. Here are some examples of how these poppy flowers are used. Then one day, I came across real poppy flowers during a trip to Europe. And here are a couple of my shots taken on that trip. Look at how striking they are as you see the rich burning red color in the field. And as it turns out, poppy plants, they are rather hardy. That means they can grow in very harsh conditions. And of course, no harsher conditions is there than grounds that have been ravaged by bullets, by mortars and bombs, or even chlorine gas that's used by the Germans. As for the soldiers who died in such offenses, unfortunately, they would be laid to rest in the same ravaged grounds. And that's the circumstance in which a Canadian doctor, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, found himself in at Flanders Field, Belgium, where he performed the burial service for his very close friend. But even in such devastation, Dr. McCrae couldn't help but notice the hardy poppy flowers growing around other graves that had been used for some soldiers who have died earlier. It's as if the flowers are decorating the graves. So the next day, perched on an ambulance overlooking the battlefield, Dr. McCrae penned the poem In Flanders Field. Let me read for you the first few lines. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row. That mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing, fly. And later on, inspired by Dr. McCrae's poem, an American teacher, Moina Michael, started wearing a red poppy as a personal commemoration. In fact, she was very inspired by Dr. McCrae's poem that she herself wrote a poem. That means her poem is different. It's about keeping the faith. So she wears a flower, the poppy flower, as her act of keeping the faith. Later on, nicknamed as the Poppy Lady, she also encouraged the selling of poppies to raise money for veterans. And what she started continued to this day. As a Christian, the red petals radiating from a black core symbolize to me the essence of the cross. That's because, though intended as an instrument of death, the cross has given people all over the world new life. And that's a life that lasts forever in the sweet arms of Jesus, Lord and Savior of the world. And as I end my sermon, let me end it in a different way today, being remembering Anzac Day. Let me do so by requesting that we all stand. Let me invite you to join me in observing 1 minute of silence, as is usually the tradition for such an occasion. As we remember our war heroes who had sacrificially lived out the meaning of today's scripture, greater love hath no man so that we get to enjoy freedom in this country. At the same time, it is a call to remember the even greater sacrifice of Jesus Christ, Son of God, so that we can enjoy freedom from sin eternally. Amen.